The Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, quotes the question that Rabbi Bar Abaye asked, that we know that one may not bake on Shabbos, and as we've discussed, one is not over for the melacha of afiyah until the item is actually baked or cooked. And we also know that the halacha is that radius hapas, removing the dough from the oven, is asur on Shabbos, because as Tosfos on Daf Gimel Amud Beis explains, radius hapas is a chokhmah ve'en melacha. In those days, the way the dough was put into the oven, it was stuck to the sides of the oven, and it was not simple to remove that dough. And therefore Chazal said that radius hapas is also on Shabbos, either because Chazal were concerned that if we're going to allow radius hapas, one may come to actually bake on Shabbos, or as others explained, because there's a concern of uvdin d'chol, it looks like something which is taking place, a weekday event. And the question that Rabbi Bar Abaye discusses is, may one do radius hapas on Shabbos in order to avoid being mechal Shabbos of afiyas hapas, or baking the pas? And the Gemara begins a discussion exactly who is Rabbi Bar Abaye referring to. Who is Rabbi Bar Abaye asking should be allowed to or not be allowed to take off this actual dough? And the Gemara has an analysis. If it's the actual person who put up the dough, and then the Gemara suggests that ulaman hitiru amar sheishis la'olam b'shoigig, that the dough was put on b'shoigig ulaman hitiru. And who does the Gemara want to suggest? Who's Rabbi Bar Abaye suggesting maybe should be allowed to take off the dough? Lacheirim, somebody who saw someone else put on this dough, should he be allowed to remove the dough to help him avoid being mechal Shabbos? Asked the Gemara, Maskel or Rishayshus. So Rishayshus immediately asks, V'chi oimrim lo'i lo'odom chatei, do we tell a person even to do a minimal aveira k'dei sheyiske chavercha, in order that somebody else should not do a bigger aveira? Certainly that isn't a question. So Tosfos here, the Ramaskel, V'chi oimrim lo'i lo'chatei, begins a very significant analysis of when, or if and when, may somebody or should somebody do an aveira to prevent someone else from doing an aveira, and when may not do so. So Tosfos asks a question, and the questions and answers that Tosfos give become the guideline for when I am or should do aveira to help someone else, to prevent someone else from doing an aveira, and when not. Tosfos quotes a Gemara Masechta Erevin, Gemara Masechta Erevin, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, that discusses a situation where a chaver, an individual who's meticulous about Hilchus Hatluyus Ba'aretz, Trumas and Maisris, who told an Amoritz who's not careful, go and collect fruit ta'inim from my field. And then he recognized, oi, those fruits were not, Trumas and Maisris were not taken from those fruits. And he knows that the Amoritz won't unfortunately be careful to take those Trumas and Maisris. So even though there's a halacha that Trumas and Maisris should be taken min ha-mukaf, Trumas and Maisris should be taken from only when all of the fruits are there, the halacha is here, the chaver may take off shloi min ha-mukaf. And the reason is because it's better that the chaver should take off fruit, take off Trumas and Maisris from Minamukov only rather than the Amoritz, should Chas V'Shalom come to eat a much more serious Aveira, fruit which is Tevel, fruit from which Trumas and Maisris were not removed. But what do we see from that Gemara, says Taisus, that the Chaver should do an Aveira, albeit a less significant Aveira, in order to prevent someone else from doing the more serious Aveira. So, Al Gemara, says Taisus, says, Ein Odom Oim L'chatei B'chvil Shiyisku Chaveri. So, Taisus gives a number of terutzim, and the Rishonim give a number of terutzim to this question. One terutz Taisus suggests is that in that situation, the Chaver is the one that caused that the Amoritz should perhaps do an Aveira. The Chaver, by telling the Amoritz, go collect my fruit, and the Amoritz will now collect that fruit and eat the fruit without having Trumas and Maisus removed, actually was prompted to do this Aveira by the Amoritz. That's when Chazal allowed the Chaver to do a small Aveira to prevent them from doing a big Aveira. But when the Chaver had nothing to do with the Amoritz doing the Aveira, there it's very different. Like in our Gemara, if somebody went and put dough into the oven on Shabbos, I had nothing to do with him doing so, and therefore I have no responsibility to do even a small Aveira to prevent them from doing a big Aveira. The Meiri, in fact, says that the way to understand that Gemara is that there's an element of Lifnei Iver in that Gemara, because the Chaver, by sending the Amoritz to collect that fruit, sort of put him into a situation knowing that this is an individual that isn't careful with Trumas and Maisris, may end up eating the fruit without Trumas and Maisris. The Riva gives a different teretz. Taisus quotes the Riva. Taisus says that in the Gemara Masechta Erevin, when the Chaver sent the Amoritz to take the fruit, he hasn't yet done the Aveira. And because he hasn't yet done the Aveira, the Amoritz, the Chaver, should do everything to prevent the Amoritz from doing the Aveira. The Amoritz hasn't yet collected the fruit, and certainly has not yet eaten the fruit. And that's why the Chaver should quickly take that fruit and be mafresh, even though it's Shloim and Amukov, to avoid the problem. Whereas in our Gemara, the person has already put the dough in the oven. And since he's already put that dough in the oven, it's a very different situation. And in fact, I saw from the Lubavitch Rebbe in the Likutei Sichus, he says that there's a raya to that pshat from Rashi. If we look at Rashi in our Gemara, Rashi says, "V'chi oimim la'odam, say v'chatei is a kal, k'dei shlo yava is chayiv chaverch oynish chomer." Rashi is focused on the oynish. Why is Rashi focused on the oynish? Why isn't Rashi focused on the aveira? So says the Lubavitch Rebbe. That's exactly what Rashi is coming to say. Rashi is coming to say the same as the Riva. Here the Aveira has been done. The person who put the dough in the oven on Shabbos did the Aveira. Now the only issue is, can I prevent them from getting the Oynish for Chilul Shabbos? How can I prevent that from happening? By being careful and by taking out the dough and preventing them from really having baked on Shabbos. We're the only issue concern at this point is to prevent somebody from an Oynish. The Aveira has been committed anyway. There we don't say to another person to do an Aveira to prevent somebody else. Whereas where the Aveira hasn't been committed at all, there perhaps the halacha would be that I should do something to prevent somebody else from doing an Aveira. The Ramban takes a different approach. The Ramban's approach is that we have to look at what type of Aveira we're discussing. In the Gemara in Masechta Erevin, we're eating food from which Trumas and Maestris were not removed. There's a Chiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. So it's obviously a very significant Aveira. There we tell a person, do an Aveira to prevent someone else from doing an Aveira. Whereas in our Gemara, where the person was Mechal Shabbos B'shoyid, so since he was Mechal Shabbos only B'shoyid, so it only carries with it a Chiv Chatos, not as significant as a Chiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. So for me to do an Aveira to prevent someone else from doing an Aveira that has in it a Misa, but that doesn't have in it such a serious punishment, Chazal didn't tell me to do so. The Ritva has a very different approach. And the Ritva's approach is a much more fundamental, has a much more elementary perspective to this entire Shaila. The Ritva differentiates between where someone comes to ask Shaila versus where someone does it on his own. If I come and ask Shaila, should I do an Aveira to prevent someone else from doing an Aveira? The halacha is Bezdin is not going to tell me, do an Aveira to prevent someone else from doing an Aveira. Whereas, when I on my own do an Aveira, because I want to see that my colleague should not do the Aveira, that's a different situation. But then the Rishonim give a very fundamental, different approach to this entire Shaila. And they say as follows. They say in Halacha there's a difference between when somebody did an Aveira B'Shia versus when somebody did an Aveira B'Shagig. If somebody's doing an Aveira B'Shagig, so I have much more of an obligation to prevent them from doing the Aveira. Whereas someone who's doing an Aveira, but with somebody who's doing an Aveira B'Shia, I don't have that obligation. He did an Aveira deliberately, I don't have the obligation to stop him. Whereas if he did the Aveira B'Oynus B'Shagig, I have much more of an obligation to stop him. And the Ksav Sofer in Tshuvas, Shaul's Tshuvas Ksav Sofer, Ayre Chaim Simon Samach Beis, puts this entire issue into perspective. And what he says is as follows. He says that there's a difference between the entire reason why someone, he says, should do an Aveira, or perhaps should do an Aveira, to prevent someone else from doing an Aveira, is because we have a klal, we have a rule, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. We're all responsible one for the other. So he says, if there's a rule that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, and that therefore if someone else does an Aveira, it's as if I did an Aveira, and therefore I have the obligation from stopping someone else from doing an Aveira. So then, on the contrary, it shouldn't make a difference if he did the Aveira between Oynus and Pshia. If somebody else is doing an Aveira, and I'm responsible for my fellow Jew's actions, it shouldn't make a difference. Says the Ksav Sofer, and the Ein Yitzchak also develops this point. They explain that Arvis is not an absolute concept. The concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh doesn't say that if someone else did an Aveira, it's as if I did an Aveira. Rather, what they explain is that it makes a difference why he did the Aveira and why he didn't do the Aveira and what the circumstances are. If someone indeed is a Shayik and someone is indeed an Oynus, so there I have an obligation, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, because we're all connected. But if someone deliberately goes and does an Aveira, could I be blamed for what someone else does? I didn't tell him to do the Aveira. He did it deliberately. He knew he's doing the wrong thing. There we don't apply the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. And therefore it's very different. So I saw that the Paiskim make a number of observations. I saw that the Shaar Metzion B'Halacha says that if we're saying that the entire concept of doing or not doing an Aveira depends on what is my relationship with the other individual, so says the Shaar Metzion B'Halacha, let's say it's someone's wife who's doing an Aveira. The relationship between a husband and a wife, says the Shaar Metzion B'Halacha, is a much closer relationship than the relationship between two Jews. So there it's not just a concept of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh L'Zeh. There is a concept of Ishtay Kegufoy that comes into play, and therefore says the Shaar Metzion B'Halacha, a husband has much more of an obligation to prevent his wife from doing an Aveira because of the concept of Ishtay Kegufoy versus anyone else. On the other hand, I saw in the Sefer Peiris Te'ena that he takes just the opposite approach. He says if the entire discussion of when we say someone else should do an Aveira or shouldn't do an Aveira is dependent on the cloud, as the Ksav Sofer teaches us, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, there is a discussion in the Halacha, which is not the subject of today's shiur, if the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh applies by women as well. And that there are many Rishonim that are of the opinion that we don't say Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh by women. If that's the case, a man in the circumstances that we're describing maybe should do an Aveira to prevent another Jew from doing an Aveira. However, a woman doesn't have that obligation, because the entire obligation is based on the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh doesn't apply by women. Tosfos then asks another question. Tosfos says that the Gemara in Masechet Gittin says that someone who's a Chetzi Eved and a Chetzi Ben Chayrim, the Gemara says, we force the owner to free him. Even though the Gemara says, Amr Yehuda, Kol Meshachrei Avdoi Oyve Basei, and Asei of L'Olam Behem Tavoidu, here says the Gemara, this person is in a limbo, because he's a half Eved, half a Ben Chayrim, he can't get married. Lisa Shivchi Yafshur, because he's a half free man. Lisa Ben Tzchayim Yafshur, because he's a half Eved, and we force him. But the question is, I, who own the half Eved, am being over an Aveira by freeing this Eved. So why should I be over an Aveira in order that this Eved should be able to do a mitzvah? So the Tosfos and the Rishonim explain that there's a whole new concept in play here. And that is, when we're dealing with a mitzvah rabbah, or a mitzvah b'shvil rabbim, when we're dealing with a great mitzvah, or we're dealing with a mitzvah that is on behalf of the public, then we do tell a person to do an aveira for that. We do allow one person to do an aveira on behalf of another person. And therefore, the Gemara teaches us that Rebbe Lezer freed his Eved in order to have a minyan. We're learning now, there's a din of Loilim Behem Tavaydu. Since it was a mitzvah the Rabbim, it's a very different situation. Tosfos in Masechet Baba Basra says that this last raya, that Rebbe Lezer freed his Eved, is not a compelling raya, because Tosfos says that Rebbe Lezer himself in that situation was benefiting. Rebbe Lezer himself needed a minyan. So he wasn't freeing the Eved for the benefit of the Eved or for the benefit of others. He was freeing the Eved on his own behalf, and since he was freeing him on his own behalf, that's why it's very different. The Rashba also says that we can't bring a raya from the situation of a chetzi eved, chetzi ben chayrim, because he says that the entire status of an individual who is a chetzi eved, chetzi ben chayrim is a sort of difficult halachic status. And since it's a difficult halachic status, that's why Chazal took a very different approach in allowing us to free the Eved, because he's not really an Eved. If we had somebody who was a full-fledged Eved, that's when Lo'ilam Bahem Tavoidu is in place, and maybe we wouldn't be allowed to do any Aveira on behalf of someone else's benefit. The Ritva takes a different approach. The Ritva, the two Ritvas, there's a Ritva Masechta Erevin that discusses this issue, and there's a Ritva Masechta Gittin. The Ritva Masechta Erevin says that the Isser to free another Eved is only because of Lo'is Achanim. There's a din that you're not allowed to give an Akum a gift for no reason. But if I'm freeing the Eved because I'm going to have benefit from it, I'll have a minion or other benefit, so then the Isser of Lo'is Achanim doesn't apply, and therefore it's not as significant. The Ritva Masechta Gittin says that even though the Gemara says that there is a din of La'olam Behem Tavoidu, La'olam Behem Tavoidu is not really a mitzvah to say, it's only an esmachta. The Pnei Yeshua takes a whole different approach. The Pnei Yeshua's approach is similar to what we said earlier. Since this Eved's financial status, his halachic status, is sort of in limbo, and since he's completely in limbo, Chazal apply the concept of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, and he's not considered anymore the property of this owner. And if he's not considered his property, freeing him really isn't considered the Aveir being Oyver Loilam Behem Tavoidu. Davni Nezer approach is as follows. On one hand, yes, I, who am freeing this Eved, am being over the Aveir of Loilam Behem Tavoidu. But on the other hand, I was the one that created this situation because of my ownership of him. Is he an Eved? So we go back to what we discussed earlier. The Chazal make a difference in telling me to do an Aveir on behalf of another person or not doing an Aveir on behalf of another person, dependent on my involvement in creating the Aveira. And if I was somewhat complicit in making that this other person should do the Aveira, then it's much easier or much more obligatory for me to do an Aveira to prevent him from doing a bigger Aveira. So to summarize what Tosfos is saying, when we do allow a person to do an Aveira to prevent someone else from doing an Aveira, is if I caused someone else to do the Aveira, so there I have much more of an obligation to prevent the person from doing the Aveira. When it's a mitzvah rabbah, when it's a very important mitzvah, like pru or vu, getting married, or when it's a mitzvah the rabbim, there it becomes very different, and I have much more of an obligation to prevent someone else from doing an Aveira. And therefore, I saw a very interesting Shaila that's discussed by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in his Sefer Chashuki Chemet. He says the question came up in a nursing home where there's a light, electric bulb, that was left on in a refrigerator. And the administrator, before Shabbos, forgot to take out that bulb. And there are a lot of people who will perhaps open, they're not that religious, and will open and close the refrigerator on Shabbos, and every time they open and close the refrigerator, they're going to be Mechal Shabbos. Does the administrator have a right, while the refrigerator is open, to unscrew that plug to avoid that issue? So a lot of the halachas, a lot of the concepts that Tosfos just taught us really come into play. Number one, the administrator is sort of responsible because it was his job to make sure before Shabbos that that light bulb was unscrewed. So he created this situation. Furthermore, here we refer to situation of a mitzvah derabim, because there are many people that will unfortunately be mechallel Shabbos in this situation where they're going to be opening and closing the refrigerator. And as we just said, when we're speaking about a mitzvah derabim, the halacha changes. And furthermore, using another concept that we've discussed in our shiur today, unscrewing a bulb on Shabbos when the bulb is off is not more than it's the rabbanon. But opening and closing the refrigerator and causing the light to go on and off may be a shayla of an issa deraisa. So perhaps I'm allowed to be over an issa derabbanan, particularly when I cause that issa derabbanan to be violated to prevent someone else from doing an issa deraisa. And we find this concept in other areas of halacha. Some are areas that are not even relevant, and that not relevant b'zman hazeh. Some are areas that are obviously very much relevant b'zman hazeh. In Kachim, we say, "Ein oim l'adam du an aver betil shetiske chavercha." For example, if the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Zvachim on Daf Ayin Zayin that if the evarim of a karban chatas, which may be eaten by kahanim, got mixed up with a varm of a carbon oila, which are supposed to be burnt, the halacha is that we should take them all out and let them be burnt and don't put anything on the mizbeach. Since the avari chatos may not be put on the mizbeach, because these avarim are designated for eating, and if I'll put all of these avarim on the mizbeach, I'll be doing an avera of putting something on the mizbeach that I don't do. The halacha is, ein oimrim, we don't allow that the karban chatas avrim should be put on the mizbeach in order that the karban oila avrim that do belong on the mizbeach should be burnt. Similarly, the halacha is, when we bring a karban mincha, so the shirayim are eaten by the kahanim, they may not be burnt. The chayimitz must be burnt, and the halacha is that if the chayimitz and the shirayim got mixed together, we burn the entire mixture because we don't allow the shirayim to be put on the mizbeach in order to save that the chayimitz should be put on the mizbeach. Another halacha is, the Tzva says this, the halacha is that a mamzer is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. The halacha is that if a mamzer is an eved, then he's allowed to marry a shivcha. Still, the halacha is that a mamzer is not allowed to steal in order that he should be sold as an eved, that he should be allowed to marry a shivcha. Because again, we don't allow you to do an aveira in order to be able to do a mitzvah afterwards. There's an interesting discussion in the Paiskim regarding the following situation. The Beis Yosef quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba that discusses a situation where a man was told, Rachmana Litzlan, that his daughter was taken forcibly out of the home and the girl is in great danger, that they're going to treat her inappropriately, or they're going to cause her to be mechallel Shabbos. And the question is, is someone allowed to be mechallel Shabbos in order to prevent this girl from being mechallel Shabbos? Here, we have a number of different conflicting concepts that we've been learning come into play. On one hand, I didn't cause that this girl should unfortunately fall into this situation. On the other hand, here it's certainly in a situation of a mitzvah rabbah. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that in such a situation, Aruch Chaim Simen Shin Vav Sif Yedalid, the halacha says the Shulchan Aruch is that even if it involves me being Michal Shabbos with an Issa Deraisa, the halacha is I'm allowed to do this because I'm preventing a girl, this girl, from being Michal Shabbos for the rest of her life. And since it's such an important concept, it certainly falls into the category of a mitzvah rabbah, and a very serious mitzvah rabbah, and I have a right, says the Shulchan Aruch, to Michal Shabbos Midaraisa. The Mishnah Berura, however, qualifies that it's only in a situation where this girl was forcibly removed from the home. So she, Nebuch, is such a terrible situation, not at her own fault. But let's say the girl caused this situation, then we don't have a right to be Mechal Shabbos. The Eli Rabba says that, maybe with a Derabbanan, even if she's at fault, but since it's such a serious situation, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. The Magen Avraham says no. Again, because we take the concept that we learned from the Ksav Sofer. There's a difference if the person was a Poshea or the person was an Oinus. And if the person was a Poshea in creating this situation that they find themselves in, then Chazal are much stricter in not allowing me to do an Aveira versus where the person was an Oinus. But to conclude this year, I want to repeat a tshuva that I saw from the Masham. The Masham was asked, because the point I want to make is it's important that we shouldn't make our own decisions what is or isn't considered a situation of what is or isn't considered a situation of that I may or may not do an Aveira on behalf of someone else. We know what a halacha is, but it's only a minig, that during the 9 days, we don't eat meat. Svardim is the Shvur Shechalboi. And the Masham was asked the question, if there's a community that has in it Jews who are not yet religious, but they buy kosher meat, if it's available. So if the kosher butcher shop will be open, they're going to go to the kosher butcher shop to buy meat during the 9 days. If the kosher butcher shop will not be open, they're going to buy non-kosher meat. They're not that meticulous in their observance, unfortunately. And the question that he addresses is, should we be allowed to open the butcher shop and even maybe shech meat during the 9 days on behalf of these individuals, that they shouldn't, chas v'shalom, do the horrible aveira of eating non-kosher meat? So we would all probably think the isser of eating meat during the 9 days, as I said, is no more than a minute. And eating non-kosher meat is a very serious isser deraisa. Every kezayis, one is over a very serious isser deraisa. So we would all assume, certainly, open the butcher shop. The Masham takes a very different approach. And the Masham's opinion is that we're not allowed to open the butcher shop. Because although this is only a minig, and this is a deraisa, but I didn't create the situation that this person's eating non-kosher meat. He's not eating non-kosher meat because of me. And furthermore, says the Masham, we don't only have to think about the individual who will eat non-kosher meat, but we have to think about the other individual. There may be individuals who are careful to only eat kosher meat. And if there's no kosher meat available, they won't eat meat. They'll eat other food, which the halacha requires them to do during the 9 days. But if the kosher butcher shop is open, they're going to eat meat, which they shouldn't do. So why, says the Masham, should I be more concerned about the non-religious Jew who's going to eat the meat when he shouldn't be, than about the religion, than about the person who wants to do what's right? And therefore, the Masham says, even though it's a minig versus a deraisa, uphold the minig, don't shech the meat, don't open the kosher butcher shop, because ein arim adam chatei b'shvil shiske chavercha.